Shalom aleichem, sweetest friends. This week's parasha is Parashas Chayisara. It says in Parashas Chayisara, Perikov Gimel, Pasuk Yitzayin, Vayakam stay Ephron asher b'machpela asher lifnei mamre ha-sodeh v'amara asher bo v'chol ha-eitz asher b'sodeh asher v'chol gvulo saviv. And the field of Ephron was literally lifted. That was in Machpela, that was before Mamre, the field and the cave that was in it, and all of the tree that was in the field, and all around that was around that area. So what does it mean, Vayakam? This is talking about Avram buying the field from Ephron. What does it mean, Vayakam stay Ephron? So Rashi says, Tekuma Haisala. It was elevated. It was lifted. The field of Ephron was lifted. She Yatz'ah Miyad Hedyot Liyad Melech. It went from the field, from the hands of a Hedyot, of a simpleton like Ephron, to the hands of a melech, of a king, of Avram Avinu. That is the first parish of Rashi. The second parish of Rashi is Upshuto Shel Mikra, Vayakam Hasada V'Amara Sherbo V'Chol Eitz L'Avram L'Mikne. It went up to Avraham to be acquired, the field and the cave. So Rashi brings two pshatim. The first pshat Rashi says, is that what does it mean the field was elevated? Because it went from the hands of a simple person to the hands of a king. And the second parish of Rashi is, he says, and this is Pshuto Shel Mikra, Vayakam Hasadavam, that the field went up into the hands of Avraham in an acquisition. Not that it went from a lower person to a higher person, but it was acquired to him. That means it went up into his hands. The Makor of Rashi is in the Bamed, in Bereshis Rabbah. There's a Chazal, Per parshan and ches els ches vayakam stay Ephron dehavas nefila vekamas. It was fallen and now it was lifted. Dehavas debar inish zeir veis avidas lebar nashrav. It was originally was owned by a small person and then it came into the hands of a big person. So that's Rash. That's similar to what Rashi writes. Mamish kolosh and Rashi. You have in the Medrash Agada. It says Kolosh and Rashi Mamish in the Medrash Agada, Vayakam stay Ephron Tkuma Haisalo Shiyotza Miyad Hediotuba Liyad Melech. So that's Mamish Kolosh and Rashi. So Rashi has two makoros, one exactly is Lush and one Be'erech. One says that one in Bereshis Rabbah it says that it was owned by a small person and now by a big person, and in the Medrash Agada it says, Vayakam stay Ephron, that the Kolosan Rashi, Tkuma Haisala was elevated, Sheyatza Miyad Hedyot, Uba Liyad Melech. So when you look at this Rashi, you begin to wonder to yourself, as many of them, first Rashi wondered. Rashi says famously in Bereshis Per Gimel Pasuk Ches, that there are many Midrashi Agada, but my job is to be Miyashiv Pshuto Shel Mikra. And here, what did Rashi do? Rashi brought the Drash. And before he even brought the Pshuto Shel Mikra, he brought the Drash. As Rashi says, there is a Pshuto Shel Mikra here. Vayakam stay Ephron, that it was acquired to Avram. That's what it means, Vayakam. But the field of Ephron was acquired to Avram. So that's Rashi's the Pashup Shat. But before he even gets to the Pashup Shat, which he says is his job to give the simple meaning, convey the simple meaning of the text, he throws in a Medrash where Rashi says that Vanilo Basiyala Pshuto Shel Mikra. Ula Agada Hamiyashev is Divrei Hamikra Dover Alofanov. So I'm either going to say Pashup Shat, or an Agada that's Miyashev the words of the Pesukim. And here the Rashi first of all only brings the Pashup Shat second, and the first Pshat he brings is doesn't seem to be the simple meaning of the text at all. It doesn't seem to be Agada Hamiyashev is Divrei Hamikra Dover Alofanov. That's Miyashev the Mikra. Now all of a sudden, until now, I didn't know what Vayakam Ephron is. And now I can read it, I can really see that in the words. That it was elevated from the hands of a Hedyot into the hands of a king. That doesn't really seem, that seems to be a nice drush of Chazal. But that doesn't seem to be a drush that's Miyashev Pshuto Shel Mikra. And the fact that Rashi brought it first, and Rashi says there are many midrashim. Rashi says there Gimel Ches. And he says that those are already written in the Midrashim, that for that you don't need me. You need me to tell you what the simple meaning of the Pasuk is. That's my job. So why then does he bring this Kuma Haisala? It went from the hands of a Mehegio to the hands of a king. And if the second parish is Pshuto Shel Mikra, you don't need the first parish at all. And if the second parish doesn't work, then why bring it? So this is all a wonder in Rashi. Not only that, but we find elsewhere that the Avos made Kinyanim. It says earlier, Bes Kol Rechusha, Mesher Rachshu, Bes Hanefesh, Sher Asu B'charan, all the stuff that they bought, Avram and Sarah. It says, Mamash Loshen a Kinyan, by Yaakov Avinu, by Yikin Eschachas HaSada, Asher Nata Shamalo, Miad B'nei Chamor Vishchem. He bought the field where he pitched his tent from Chamor, the father of Shchem. There, it doesn't say this Loshen of Tkuma. So why doesn't it always say that? Why Dafka here, whenever the Avos made a Kinyan, say Tkuma Yisola? Why is it Dafka here? Rashi tells us, in this specific instance, it says Tkuma Yisola. Also, it says in the Medrash Rabbah, Amar Reb Elazar, famous Medrash, Kama Dios Mishtapchos V'Kama Kulsamim Mishtabrim, how much ink has been spilled, how many pens have been broken, in order to write B'nei Ches. It says B'nei Ches in the parasha 10 times. Kenega the Aseres Adibros, to teach you, says the Medrash, Shekol Shu Mevar Mechel Shel Tzadik Kilo Mekayim Aseres Adibros. The 10 B'nei Ches tells you that if you learn about you clarify the acquisition of a Tzadik, it's as if you are Mekayim the Aseres Adibros. So what's Pshat in the Medrash? And what do we have to learn? What's it teaching us about our lives? So Mori V'Rabbi, Admor Mitol Neshlita, in the year Tovshin Samach Zayin, presented a beautiful mahalach to resolve the problems in Rashi, and to give us, as always, a derech in life, a path to Hashem. You know why Rashi first brought the drash, and then afterwards he brought the pshat? And you know why he brought this drash b'chlal? Because Rashi wanted to tell us how chashuv this drasha is. This is gur chashuv a drasha. Very, very important drasha. Because it's teaching us a lesson for life that's indispensable. We learn in the parasha that Avram Avinu was searching for a cave in which to bury Sarai Menu. And this is a very deep and hidden idea. Because when all of the people in that area gathered to honor Sarai Menu, Avram Avinu, Alav HaShalom, found the time to teach his children and his grandchildren and all the generations what the correct way in Avodas Hashem is. Because at this time, when Sarai Menu is being buried, we see very clearly the words of Noam Zmiris Yisrael of David HaMelech in Tehillim Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, Al Tira Ki Yash Yirish Ki Yar B'Kvod Beiso Ki Lo B'Moiso Yikach HaKol Lo Yered Acharav Kivodo Ki Lo B'Moiso Yikach HaKol Lo Yered Acharav Kivodo. That's it. When a person dies, says David HaMelech, it's all over. You don't take it with you. So this is a time, at the time of death, when we realize how meaningless all our physical possessions are. As it says in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes, B'Shat P'tirato Shel Adam, when a person dies, Ein Melavin Lo Le'Adam Lo Kesef V'Lo Zahav, V'Lo Avanim Tovot U'Margaliot, Ela Torah Ma'asim Tovim Bilvad, when a person dies, what goes with him? Not his silver, not his gold. Not his beautiful rubies and diamonds, or his pearls. You know what goes with him? All you take with you to the Olam HaEmes is your Torah and your Ma'asim Tovim. Person leaves his computer behind, he leaves his Tetris behind, he leaves his car behind, he leaves his tennis racket behind, he brings his newspapers behind. Everything stays in this earth, and his neshama just goes with his Torah and Ma'asim Tovim. So Avraham Avinu is telling us, sweetest friends, for all the generations, Kedirei Mori V'Rabbi Shlita, what is the way to go in Avodas Hashem? That we have to be mimayis, we have to despise, we have to distance ourselves. Ada katzeh acharon. To the greatest extreme, from chemdas hamamoin, from loving money, and all other taivas of olam hazeh, narisha taivas. And that, in fact, sweetest friends, was the whole midah of Avraham Avinu, like it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. What did Avraham Avinu have? Ayin toiva, v'ruach nemucha, v'nefesh shvela, mitam midah shel Avraham Avinu. Person wants to be a Talmud Avraham Avinu, he has to have a good eye, a low spirit. And the Rambam explains, Kvar bi'arnu kama pe'amim, this is the Rambam in his Perush LaMishnah. What does it mean, Ayin Tova, that to be a Talmud of Avraham Avinu means to have an Ayin Tova, ha'estapkus, to suffice with what you have. And look at what Avraham Avinu did. He said to Melech Sodom, imichut v'atzroch na'al, I don't want anything from you. V'zel tachlis ha'estapkus, you don't even want a big amount, a large amount of money. You don't even take a little bit. That was Avraham Avinu. Even to take a shir mu'at. Aye, what about the story with Sarah? And I'll get matanos. That deserves a shir in and of itself. But that, it certainly wasn't because Avraham had chemdas hamama. That's certainly not. You could say, one pshat, as they say, is that it was myself a simon labanim. So we went into the galus. We had to leave Mitzrayim with a lot of gifts, so he wanted gifts. And there are other pshatim. But the point is that this was the midah of Avraham Avinu, which says the rabbis in Pirkei Avos. He had an ayin tov, he wasn't running after money. Oyev kesef, lo yizba kesef. If a person wants money, it's never enough. And that was the midah of Ephron. And that's what it says in Bereishis Rabba, Parshin and Chesoy Zayin. Hadu dechtiv nivhalahon ish ra'ayin. Who's the nivhalahon? Who's running after money, running after a fortune? Ish ra'ayin, a man with an evil eye. Says the Medrash, that's Ephron. And he gave an evil eye to the moment of Avraham Avinu. So not only did he would not suffice with what he had, but he gave an ayin rahara to other people's money. So he became a nivalahon. Nivalahon is somebody who, when dealing with money, he loses all of his bearings. He goes nuts. He goes crazy. Money! People go mishugana. There's no more God. There's no family. Nothing exists in their life but money. I once saw an interview with a man who's going to be spending the next 20 or so years in jail, who was a mamish a nivol ahon. And he describes how he was a nivol ahon. How all he could think about was getting more and more and more and more and more and more money, even though he had plenty. Plenty he had. But he was a nivol ahon. And in the end he had to steal. And then in order to steal, he had to steal more. And then he had to steal more. And he kept giving one thing led to the next. And then he presented himself as somebody he's not. And you're involved long enough in this in shtick. So then the FBI starts smelling. And then the FBI finds him. They arrest him. And instead of having money, now he's behind bars. He's wearing his prison uniform. I don't know if he's wearing his prison uniform. I assume in some prisons they do, some they don't. That I don't know. But what I know was that a nivol ahon loses his seichel. He becomes meshigah for geld. And that was Ephron Achiti. And that was this meeting, this historic meeting between Avram and Ephron. It was an ayin toiv of Avram. It was somebody who wasn't interested in money, Avram Avinu. who had the midah of istapkus, as the Rambam says. He was happy with what he had, and the midah of Ephron. Oev kesef and niv alahon. He had a chemdas maman atzumo bilti nishletes. He had this unrestrained love and desire for money. And therefore Avram Avinu said, Shimao ne ufiguli befron ben tzachar v'yitain li es maraz ha-machpela shalo asher b'ktei sadehu v'kesef maleh yitnen ali. So, the reason I know how to lane this a little bit is because it was my brother's bar mitzvah parsha, so I heard him lane it many times. Of course, this is going back close to well over 25 years ago. So that's a long time. But b'chozot I remember. Girsa d'yankasa. In any event, I want to meet Ephraim ben Soch, and he'll give me Moles HaMachpela, that it's at the end of his field, and he'll give it to me b'kesef malei. Vaydaber Ephron was named Lemor Achim Atalush Maini Nasati Kesef Asadeka Achmimeni Vekbras Mesi Shama. If you'll just listen to me, take the money. He wanted to show them, what do you mean? Why are you insisting they take money? And why are you giving so much? The answer is because Avram Avinu wanted to show everybody that now he's doing a mitzvah. Now he's doing the mitzvah of Kuras Ames. Money means nothing. Money is garnish. Money is not an object when you're doing a mitzvah. We know that Yaakov Avinu Chazer Al-Pachim Kitanim, he went to get the small jugs because Sadiqim Chavim Alei Mamonim Yosem Migufam, because that's what Hashem gave them. Whatever Hashem gave them, they like. They're happy. It's a kli for Avodas Hashem. But if it comes to spending money for a mitzvah, so what's money? Money is nothing. And this is the ideal time. Now it's the time of Kvura. This is when everybody realizes how meaningless all one's monetary possessions are. So this is when Avraham Avinu showed, what do I care about this money? Take it. I just want to do the mitzvah. And that's what Avraham Avinu was teaching us for the generations. And that's why it says, Vayokam stay Ephron tkuma haisova. Because now we see, the zelu matzeh. Is kesef inherently important? Does kesef have its own value? Or is it only a means to serving Hashem? Ephron had this disgusting midah of viewing money as being an end in and of itself. He was a nivol ahon. He went crazy when it came to money. Avram Avinu, for him, money was just tashmishei mitzvah. And he showed everybody this. And that's the tkuma. It doesn't say that when other avos made kinyanim. Like when Yaakov Avinu acquired the field from Bnei Chamor. Why? Because here, this was a special elevation. Because this teaches us, for all the generations, the meaninglessness of money vis-a-vis a mitzvah. So you're right, Yaakov Avinu also made a kinyan, but there it doesn't say tkuma. Here is a true elevation. A true elevation, because we learn from this field that for a mitzvah, money means, when it comes to a mitzvah, money means nothing. And the whole purpose of Gashmias is tkuma isala, to elevate it, to use it for a mitzvah. So now this field is going to be used for a mitzvah. So this field is truly elevated. And we learn from this field that look at what money is. Money is nothing. Comes to a mitzvah, happy to give it all away. Millions of dollars. And that's why Rashi brought the Lashon of the Medrash Agadah, tkuma isala shiyotza miyad hedyot yad melech. And not the lashon of the Medrash Rabbah, the habas nafila v'kamas, the habas debar inish zeir vis avidus labar nash rav. The lashon of the Medrash Rabbah is that it was low and then it was raised. It fell and it was raised. It belonged to a small person and then it came into the hands of a big person. Rashi wrote the lashon of the Medrash Agadah that it went from the hands of a hedyo to the hands of a melech, because Rashi is teaching us the yisoid nechbar, a very important principle. So besides the field going from the hands of a very small, low person, to the hands of a very elevated person, from the hands of a crude and uncouth person, to the hands of a refined and elevated and lofty person. So Rashi is telling us more than that. Kuma haisala, shiyatsa miyad hedyot liyad melech, here Avraham Avinu is called a melech bedafka. Because melech means that you rule, you're in control. Melech poritz lo geder. Who tells a melech what to do? Melech can walk where he wants to walk. A king is in charge. And here you see that Avraham Avinu was in charge. He owned his money. His money didn't own him. Avraham Avinu, Tyra Yid, my sweetest friends. How many people do I know whose money owns them? When it comes to money, they are manish mishugana. They're crazy. They lose their bearings. They lose their seichel. They can't think straight anymore. All they want is money. Chemdas hamamoin. But he was a melech when it came to mama. He was in control. He ruled over his money. The money didn't rule over him. And Ephron was faket, pum faket. Ephron was a nivala, and all he could think about is, I want money, 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 and he's going to look bad for the rest of history. He's going to look bad, he's going to lose a vav in his name. As I'll say, Ephron. He lost the vav. Look at his terrible midos. That means that for the rest of Netzach, for the rest of eternity, he's going to be lacking. His Torah is Metzias. Torah is the true reality. And he's now lacking his own reality. He was a Ryan. Do the gematria of Ephron, do the gematria of Ryan. Tell me what you come up with. So that, sweetest friends, is the difference between Ephron and Avraham Avinu, and that's why it says Tkuma. The field was elevated, it became a chevetz of a mitzvah, and it came into the hands of a king, Dafka, a king who rules over his money, and the money doesn't rule over him. And now we can understand the Chazal we read earlier, Omer Rebbe Lazar. How much ink has been spilled? How many pens have been broken in order to write B'nei Ches, B'nei Ches, B'nei Ches? 10 times B'nei Ches. Keneged Yaseres HaDibros. To teach you that Kol Mishim Avar Mekel Shel Tzadik. Anyone who clarifies the acquisition of a Tzadik as if he's Mekayim Aseres HaDibros. What's the Shaychus between the 10 B'nei Cheses and the Aseres HaDibros? But based on what we said, it's mamish haflev of fellas, is the Rebbe Shlita. But first we need a psiktam. In Piska Chof Aleph, Rebbe Yaakov Oimer, ha'over alo sachmod, kilu over ala seres hadibros, if somebody's over on lo sachmod, don't covet. It's as if he's over on all 10 commandments. Why dafka lo sachmod? Why is that the worst? That is, if you're over all Aseres HaDibros. Some of the Aseres HaDibros are Chayvei Misa and Chayvei Krisus. Shabbos. Avodah Zarah. And here you have the Sachmod is like you're over in the Aseres HaDibros. Not even Malkus. It's a Lav Shein Bo Maisa, the Rambam Paskins in the first parak of Gzeil of Aveda Halacha Test. You don't even get Malkus for Lo Sachmod. How do you say if you're over in Lo Sachmod, you're over in all Aseres HaDibros? But based on what we said, Mamish meir boor yikara is beautiful. However, alo sachmod ki boor bala seres hadibros. Chazal are talking about the eventuality. A person's over on lo sachmod. He covets. He's going to end up being over on everything because all he can think about is money. He'll do anything for money. When it comes to money, he goes crazy. And therefore, it's as if he'll eventually be over on all the seres hadibros. And that's why it says 10 times B'nei Ches Keneged Aseres HaDibros. Because the whole parasha is to teach you not to be crazy about money. Money is a means, it's not an end. Sweetest friends, everybody knows this. You're saying, what is Ehrman telling me? What, I don't know this? I think the purpose of life is money? That's why I come and I'm listening to a shir? Because I think that it's true, we all know. But yet, we see in the world that people sometimes even wear yarmulkes. When it comes to money, they completely lose themselves. All they can think about is the money. They'll do every Aveira in the Torah for money. When it comes to money, God ceases to exist in their minds. Ay-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya. And that's this whole parasha of the 10 B'nei Ches. To teach you, sweetest friends, not to be crazy about money. When it comes to a mitzvah, spend the money, don't be nuts. Be an Ayin Tova, be an Avraham Avinu, be somebody who doesn't run after wealth. And don't be an Ephron Achiti or an Ayin Ro, not only wasn't happy with what he had, but also gave an evil eye to what other people had. He was after Avram Avinu's money. So now, Baruch Hashem, we understand the Rashi. We understand why Rashi first brought this drash. It's to teach us such an important lesson for life. We understand the Yisod, that the field teaches us that you have to be normal when it comes to money, meaning normal. Meaning money is an end, means not an end. And oh, we need this in this generation. The Rebbe tells them when he was a little boy, he lived in Beit Vagan, and he lived near the Amshinover. Remeiro mi Amshinov, Sufsiogan Aleinu. And it was a very difficult time for the Jewish people. There was very little money. It was Tkufa Satsena, people were very poor. And a Yid came to Remeiro. People mamish didn't have bread to eat. Very, very little bread. I don't know if they didn't have any. I don't know if people were starving to death. But it was a very, very difficult financial time. And a Yid came to Rav Meir Meyamshinov in Beit Vagan. And he knew him back from Poland before the war. And he came in to get a bracha. And after the bracha, he left. But before he left, he wrote out a check for a very large sum of money. And Rameel looked him straight in the eye. Or he looked at him straight in the face. I don't know if it was in the eye. I want to be accurate about the story. And he says to him, Vos is mit Shabbos? What about Shabbos? Many Jews back then used to work on Shabbos, Rachmana Litzlan. And the Yid smiled at Rameel. And he said to him, Rebbe, Mefretnish azel chashailus. We don't ask such questions. Reb Meiril took the check in his hand, and in front of the stunned eyes of this Jew, he ripped the check up into pieces and threw it in the garbage. I saw this story myself, said the Rebbe, that he ripped up the check. Oh, you don't keep Shabbos? I want to take money from a Michal Shabbos. And I myself once had an experience with a good Yid. And I told him that I have a friend who wants to pay for his Seder. How much does his Seder cost? And he said to me, $1,000, because he has children and grandchildren, and matzah, shmur matzah, meat and wine. He told me it's going to cost $1,000. That's what his Seder costs. So I said, I'll get in touch with my friend, I'll tell him. My friend, the tzaddik, he offered to pay for someone's Seder. Then the man said to me, does this person keep Shabbos? Otherwise, I don't want $1,000. That's the derech to go, my sweetest friends. This is a very poor person. This is a person without money. But if it's for chil Shabbos, it's money. I don't care if he's machal Shabbos or not. I don't care how he earned his money. He's going to take it. So that's the derech to go, and that's what it says in Tehillim. Hatzileini midamim Elokim. As Rameiro Primishlan said, Zolz nisht machin fun dein geld agot, save me from damim, from money, becoming Elohim, becoming my God. And that's what we have to all learn from Avram Avinu. Not to go crazy when it comes to money. To be melachim, to be kings, to rule over our money, not allow our money to rule over us. And in that schus, we'll be zochem mirtz Hashem. L'tov lanu kol hayamim. Sweetest friends, a good Shabbos to one, a good Shabbos to all. Shalom, shalom.